Angry Robot presents this unabridged recording of The Moonsteel Crown by Stephen Dees, read by Chris Harper. You can't magic away what you don't see coming. Sulphane. Chapter 1. Seth.
Pastries, pastries, lovely fresh pastries. Seth waved his tray of stale pastries left over from last night's kitchen in the unruly pig with increasingly forlorn hope. The sulk had the city of Var in its grasp like a butcher about to throttle a chicken, the air a crisp, murderous cold that made Seth's lungs ache. It was the middle of the afternoon and already the shadows from the brooding cliffs of the Cavernith reached across the tournament field. The crowd had thinned to knots and clusters huddled around bonfires, where they bought roasted nuts and cups of hot, spiced wine as an excuse to stay near the warmth. It was the same every winter, the long, silent smothering of cold, the 3 or 4 months spent desperately trying not to freeze. The rich and titled fled to Tarantor or Torpria for the winter, where everyone could get on with their intrigues, plots, and occasional stabbings without the added inconvenience of frostbite. Anyone too poor to get away was hiding stashes of firewood, bracing themselves in case they had to fight to the death to defend them. If you were poor, frankly, winter in Var was a bit shit. How shit, Seth realized, was something he'd almost forgotten. Unfortunately, he looked set to be reminded.
Pastries, pastries, lovely fresh pastries, he watched, envious of the fires.
For the sake of appearances, one of the imperial family usually held out until after midwinter before they ran for warmer climes. But this year, midwinter was still a month away, and none of the bastards had stayed, not a single one. True, there had been more stabbings than usual. Seth had it on good authority that the Emperor's own brother had been murdered, possibly by a demon thing that walked through walls, but more likely by his cousin. He'd make up a story, he decided, spread it around and see if he could trade it for a few bits. How the Emperor's cousin had disguised himself as a minstrel and then garrotted the prince with an enchanted lute string, one laced with wyvern's blood to keep the moon priestesses from divining the truth, something like that. Only better, because, frankly, that was about all that the lords and ladies of the Empire mattered to people like Seth. They could do as much plotting and stabbing as they liked, but when all the plotting and stabbing happened somewhere else, it meant not as many people showed up to the winter tournaments, which meant not as many people grumbling about the cold while they bought Seth's pastries.
Pastries! Pastries!
He was wasting his time. Anyone with sense had already fled to shiver in the comfort of their own home. You didn't expect the Emperor to stay, of course. Usually it was his brother, although even Seth had to grudgingly accept that being dead was a passable excuse for Prince Halvran not showing his face. The Emperor's cousin, Prince Sharda, would have been a crowd pleaser, if only for the frisson every time he opened his mouth in case he accidentally started a war. Actually, he'd heard rumours rumbling out of the Cavernith that a war might be exactly what was coming. Seth had no idea why or whom the Empire was planning to fight exactly, since there really wasn't anywhere left for it to go except across the sea, and the Empire didn't have much in the way of ships. Itself, probably. It had been more than 3 decades since the last war, after all, when Croesus the Liberator, or Croesus the Butcher, epithet dependent on your point of view, had seized the throne. There was the Emperor's daughter, of course. Would people have come out to see the royal witch before she came of age, or would they have stayed at home? Probably they'd have come in droves. Seth knew all too well how gawping and morbid fascination mostly got the better of common sense.
Pastries, get your... Oh, give up.
Why? Somewhere better you could be. Shut up. Mar Fings would always give him a scrap of floor, but that meant squeezing in with Fings's family and dealing with unwanted advances from probably at least 2 of Fings's sisters. The alternative was begging a corner in the kitchens at the Unruly Pig, as he usually did, where Blackhand would inevitably want something in return. It would be the pig, though, because the pig had Myla, which at least meant a chance of some intelligent conversation, at least until she was drunk. They could agree on how everyone with a title in front of their name could stab each other until they were all dead, and how the world would be a better place for it, and she'd share her wine, and probably let him sleep on her floor. He had time for Myla, Yes, because she doesn't mind you being a parasite. Pastries! Get your pastries! Oh, fuck off. They'd been stale before he started. Now they were either soggy and tooth-jarringly cold, or actually frozen solid. He wasn't sure which and wasn't keen to find out. His feet and his fingers weren't much better either. His tattered boots were soaked through and starting to freeze. To add insult to injury, tantalizing smells wafted from the Provisioners Guild tent. Fresh bread and hot sausage grease and spiced wine and stewed pears. They had a fire in there too, and canvas to keep in the warmth. Pastries! Lovely, fresh pastries! No one was even listening. Wasting my time. He looked around and spotted Fings slipping through the dwindling crowds. Put Fings in a crowd and all you had to do was stand back and watch while other people's money made its way into his pockets with a will all of its own. Fings saw him looking, waved, and started to head over. And Seth was half tempted to turn and run. Fings would inevitably leave him with a handful of bits, enough to buy a hot meal, and Seth knew he ought to be grateful, except Fings would say something trite and facile and cheery and stupid while he was at it, and Seth would have to bite his own tongue not to punch him in the face, which was probably just as well, because he'd only end up doing himself an injury. Pastries! Pastries! Shit in a barn! Soggy crap with ice on it! The light was fading, the air already freezing to his face. Anyone still here was desperate, broke, and trying to sell something. And yet he didn't turn and run because Fings would give him money. And right now, he had nothing, and the sulk was barely starting. Any of that worth eating? I'm starving. Fings sidled up and gave him a nod. Fresh as the day they were baked, filled with exotic southern spices, said Seth absently. They stood side by side, looking over the archery field, still as white and pristine as it had been in the morning.
It wasn't Sarah in the kitchen last night, was it? Fings frowned. Last time I had anything of hers, it was a week before I was right again.
Don't think so. Fings eyed the sad remains on Seth's tray and helped himself.
Nice girl, but...
He shook his head. I should have sold horse shit today. Seth let Fings see the miserable handful of clipped bits that were his entire worldly wealth. At least you can burn horse shit if you let it dry. People pay for that, you know.
If it was Sarah in the kitchen last night, you probably were selling horse shit.
Fings offered his purse to Seth.
Help yourself.
Mostly, it was clipped bits, but there were a few crowns, and Seth reached in and pulled out a coin. Silver. Proper, real silver. Somehow, Fings, jammy bastard that he was, had landed a precious silver moon. Not an eighth or a quarter, but a whole full moon. Food for a month, that was, if you were careful.
Yeah.
Fings looked at the silver moon dubiously and wrinkled his nose.
Need to get rid of that.
Where did you... How?
You ever get a feeling there's a set of chains up there with your name on them?
Fings was looking down the river, up to the black bulk of the Caverneth.
Some mage in the darkness searching around, picking you out. Some guardsman on the ramparts looking for you.
He took another pastry. Not really, and that's my livelihood you're eating there. Fings snatched back his purse and his silver moon and tossed a couple of bits to Seth.
How's the murdering bastard doing?
Seth shook his head.
Badly. Pity.
Really? The murdering bastard's actual name was Sulphane. He'd shown up at the Unruly Pig a month ago and somehow had Blackhand wrapped around his little finger. He was, as they'd all found out, really quite good at shooting people with his bow, just a bit... Well, indiscriminate was probably about the nicest way to put it. Fings peered across the snow.
You keep banging on how there's a war coming. Much better chance he'll get killed if he's off fighting in it rather than sitting around the pig making our lives miserable.
Wars were things that happened to other people, as far as Fings was concerned. Your wish may be granted. Black Hand wants me to forge a letter from some obscure lord no one's ever heard of that will get your murdering bastard into the Emperor's guard.
You can do that.
Of course I can.
You going to?
Seth caught Fings's eye. When he was quite sure he had it, he dragged it to his tray of sodden pastries and then gave Fings a bale...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?